Well, good morning, Hope Church. My name is Mark. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And really want to welcome you to Hope Church Online. So pleased that you could join with us from your homes in London and across the world. Now, today is the final part in our series entitled Dangerous Prayers. And the challenge has been over the last few weeks to learn to pray different types of prayers from the pages of Scripture. Not safe or predictable prayers. Now, so far we've looked at Lord, make me bold. We looked at the prayer, Lord, speak to me, that Samuel prayed. We looked at the prayer, God, break my heart for the things that break yours. We kind of looked at that one twice. Alex preached a wonderful sermon on the prayer from Psalm 139, Lord, search me, O God. And last week, we looked at the prayer, God, break me. God, break me and make me stronger as you break me. Now, today, we're looking to finish this series at possibly my favorite prayer. It's the prayer of availability. I wonder if you've noticed, again, in your prayer life, you know, that so many of our prayers sound something like this. Lord, can you do X, Y for me? God, will you help me get my job? Lord, will you help me get into a specific school or university? God, will you bless me with this? Lord, will you give me the girlfriend, the boyfriend of my dreams? Lord, will you do this for me? Now, it's good to continue to pray those prayers. We have a Heavenly Father in heaven who loves us, who loves to pour out good gifts for his children. But what about this for a dangerous prayer that flips it around? God, what can I do for you? I am your servant. I'm available to do whatever you call me to do. The prayer of availability, a dangerous prayer. Now, throughout all of Scripture, if you read from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you'll see that God calls people. And you say, what does it mean for God to call someone? Well, it means that God speaks to people. He prompts them. He leads them. He tells them where to go. He tells them what to do. He tells them when to act and when to speak. And there's basically three clear responses to God's call. The first one is personified by Jonah. Jonah's response to God's call is, here I am, I'm not going. God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh. Read the first couple of verses of Jonah chapter 1. God said to Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. I wonder how many of us have had similar experiences. We felt prompted by God to do something or to help someone, and we've said, not today, God. I'm not going. I'm not doing that. There's two stories in my life, two occurrences, two things that happened that kind of haunt me. When God prompted me to do something and I didn't. They're not big and earth-shattering, but they were significant misses on my behalf. The first one was in my mid-20s. I was teaching in London, and a whole bunch of us from university used to meet up on a Friday in the city around Bank Liverpool Street for a drink. Loads of different people working, some in hospitals, some in the city. I was teaching, others were teaching in different parts of London. And we'd meet together on a Friday for a couple of hours for a drink and to catch up. And loads of different people came. Some people came every week, some people came occasionally. And there's a friend of mine called Hurum. And Hurum I knew from university. And he'd come to the Christian Union, he'd come to church. He'd been very close to becoming a Christian. Maybe he'd made a decision, maybe he hadn't. I don't know, but he was a great guy and he was around and we had conversations about church and conversations about Jesus. This particular Friday night, I just felt prompted in my spirit to challenge him, to just challenge him about where he was in his faith and where he was in his relationship with Jesus. But I put it off. It's like, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to kind of mess up the atmosphere. And, you know, he just finished a busy week at work. So, no, I won't. I'll put it off. It's not the right time. Well, you know what? That was the last time that I saw her. He didn't come to the next couple of meets. And then about a month later, he got a new job in Dubai. The second kind of story that kind of haunts me a bit is this homeless guy in Stratford. I can still picture him and where he used to sit in the Stratford Centre. And I saw him day after day after day. And I had this sense to go and buy him lunch and to talk to him about Jesus. And I just put it off. Too busy today. No, not today. Too busy today. No, not today. No, tomorrow. Another time. Now, the thing is, talking to homeless people, giving them lunch, that was something that I regularly did. It wasn't like it was a huge barrier for me. For some people, that's a really massive thing. But it's something that I've done before many, many times on the embankment and in Stratford and many other places in London. It's something I was quite okay with, getting down the street and talking to someone, sitting down with them and talking to them, or buying them a McDonald's and talking to them. That was something I did. But this one particular guy, I just put off until the day when, in fact, he was no longer there. He was no longer sitting in that particular spot. And I never saw him again. Now, I guarantee you, each one of you, as followers of Jesus, there are times when God prompts you and you say, not today, God. We're just like Jonah, not today, God. So that's one response. The second response to the call of God is Moses' response. Here I am, send someone else. It's what Moses said. Don't send me, God, send my brother. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. God says to Moses, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So Moses knew that this had to happen. Someone needed to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let God's people go. But Moses's thought process was, who am I? I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. There's someone better. Send someone else. Isn't that so easy to be our response? I'm not going to give. I'm not going to financially contribute. I'm not going to give. They should give. Someone else could do it. I'm not going to go. They have more time. They can go. I can't do that. They can do it. They're better equipped. They're gifted. They have more time. Here am I, God. Send someone else. That's the second response. The third response is the response of Isaiah. And this is our dangerous prayer for today. This is the prayer we're going to unpack and look at. Because in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, Isaiah says this. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. God asks, who shall I send? And it's interesting, isn't it? Isaiah doesn't say, God, give me a bit more detail. Can you download a bit more information? What's the package? What's the pay? Where exactly are you sending me? Is there a pension involved? He doesn't say that. He simply says, here I am, send me. It was like he signed a blank contract and told God, I'm available, I'm here, here I am, send me. Now, I want to encourage you this week to make that prayer a daily part of your prayer life. Here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, I give you my mind, I give you my eyes, I give you my ears. Lord, here are my hands. Let them build for the kingdom of God. Let them bless people and help people. Here are my feet. Would you guide them and lead them to the people you want me to talk to encourage and spend time with? Here I am. Send me. God, you have permission to lead me. You have permission to tell me how to use my time, how to use my finances. I am completely available to you. The question is, how do we get to that place? How do we get to be like Isaiah? How do we get to have that attitude of complete surrender to God? Well, we're going to look at the verses that lead up to Isaiah 6 and verse 8. And we're going to look at them because they helpfully tell us how Isaiah came to a place of being fully surrendered to God. What do you and I need to be fully surrendered to God, to pray that prayer? Here am I, send me. Well, I think there's three things we can pick out from the passage, from Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, that's Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. There's three things here in these verses leading up to verse 8 that tell us how we can be fully surrendered to God. The first one is from verse 1. It is having a genuine experience of the presence of God. What happened in that verse? What happened is Isaiah saw the presence of God. He experienced it in all his splendor and in all his majesty. Let's read on verse 2 and 3 and 4. Just read on. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called out to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. It's amazing imagery. This amazing picture of angelic worshippers calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, when Isaiah saw the presence of God and experienced the glory of God, he was completely transformed. Why is it that some of us struggle to be fully surrendered to God and fully available to God? I think one of the reasons is because we haven't recently experienced the presence of God in a tangible and powerful way. Let me tell you something that happened to me earlier this year. At the beginning of this year, I mentioned it last week, I was struggling, just finding it really tough emotionally and mentally, and just feeling exhausted. It'd been 10 years of planting Hope Church, and I was just exhausted and feeling pretty down and just not in a particularly great place. Now, one particular evening, it was relatively late, the kids were in bed, I think Jen was in bed. I looked out and it's weird. I'm weird, but it was dark and it was raining. It was sometime in February or March. It was dark and it was raining. Now, I love running in the dark and in the rain. I know, weird, but anyway, that's me. So I thought, I'm gonna go out, get my trainers on, I'm gonna go for a run. So I got my trainers on and I went out for this run. And I ran into the Olympic Park, and the Olympic Park is really well lit. It's a great place to run, even at the nighttime. And as I ran in the pouring rain, dripping off me, it was pretty cold, it was late, it was dark, it was raining, I just felt the presence of God. The presence of God with me, running with me, equipping me, filling me. I just felt his presence in a very real and tangible way. It was just a real experience of the living God. As I ran in that Olympic, deserted Olympic Park, I felt the presence of God. And it felt like God was just taking me to a deeper place. He was encouraging me. He was filling me. He was equipping me for what was to come. And I just felt his presence. That was a significant moment for me this year in some of the challenges that I was internally going through. Now, some of you have said that's never happened to me, Mark. Never. But listen, it can. It can. God wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to do that right now. The Bible says, God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. You can do that anywhere. You can do that in the car with your worship music on. You can do that as you go for a walk with your headphones on. You can do that when you're putting your child to bed and you pray and maybe you fall asleep with them and the presence of God comes and is there with you in that room. When you have a genuine experience of the presence of God, it leads you to surrender. Isaiah saw the glory of God and his response was, "Here I am, send me." The second thing that happened to Isaiah was that he had a genuine awareness of his sinfulness. One of the biggest cultural lies that people believe today is that they are good. That you're a good person and that I'm a good person. You see, the truth is, the Bible tells us, without Jesus Christ, we are not good. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is wickedness and evil inside of us. We are not good. But Isaiah saw this. Something clicked with Isaiah. Because he saw, when he saw the glory and the goodness of God, he realized his own badness, his own sinfulness, his own wickedness. He saw a holy God and he realized it was unrighteous Isaiah. Let's look at verse 5. It's verse 5 describes it. Verse 5, Isaiah says this. And Isaiah said, "Woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts." Isaiah got it. Woe to me, I'm a sinful man. Woe to me. But God is holy and he is righteous and I am sinful. I am unrighteous. I'm a man of unclean lips, but I've seen the glory. I've seen the Almighty. I've seen the King. So how do we get to this place of availability? Here I am, God, send me. Firstly, it's experiencing the very presence and majesty and awe of God. Secondly, it's realizing our unrighteousness and sinfulness. And then thirdly, and wonderfully, it's understanding the grace and the love of God. How amazing God's grace is. If you understand that, it brings you to a place of surrender. Let's look at verse 6 and verse 7. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. And you and your sins are atoned for." Your guilt is taken away and your sins are atoned, are dealt with once and for all. I love this. One touch from God and Isaiah is completely forgiven and his sins are dealt with. His lying lips are forgiven. His lustful thoughts are forgiven. His sinful secret sins are forgiven. The things that no one else knows about are forgiven. The angry outbursts are forgiven. And the Lord separates our sin. As far as the east is from the west, it is dealt with once and for all. You see, once you understand the grace of God, it changes everything. Just like that coal touched Isaiah's lips and he was forgiven and his guilt was dealt with and his sin was dealt with. So the blood of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross in our place, the blood of Jesus touches us. One touch takes away, washes away our sins. You and I don't bring anything to the table. It's done by the grace of God. It's done by Christ's sacrifice willingly, dying in our place on that cross. So you see, the next verse, verse 8, is then Isaiah's dangerous prayer, his surrender. Here am I, send me. We can see it here. You see, when we experience the power and the presence of God, when we are aware of our sinfulness, and then we experience and are amazed by the grace of God, our response is, here am I, send me. God, I'm yours. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything at any time. This isn't something that we're to be reluctant about. Oh, I've got to do it. Oh, why do I have to do it? No, no, no. This is something incredible. I get to do it. I get to serve the Lord Almighty. I get to serve the one who died for me. I get to serve the Almighty, awesome, all-powerful, holy God. I get to use my gifts in partnership with Him. I get to bless those around me. I get to help those that cross my path. It's incredible. It's amazing. Here am I. Send me. Now listen, this is important. It's not a one-time decision. It's not, oh, 2012, Mark. Yes, on the 12th of February, 2012, I prayed, here am I'm surrendered. Here am I, Lord, send me. No, this is something we pray daily. We pray again and again and again. And if you messed up yesterday, if there was a time yesterday when you were Jonah and said, I'm not doing it, God, or send someone else like Moses, if that was yesterday, today you can pray the prayer and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Make that prayer today. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives and dwells inside of you. But from that moment on, the Bible tells us there's a war. There's a war that's going on inside of us. A war between the Holy Spirit and the world and the flesh and the devil. All fighting inside of you. The flesh wants to do what you want to do. I'm not going to go. Send someone else. Just give me some comfort. Give me some space. But the Holy Spirit fights against that and says, no, here am I, send me. No, here am I, send me. The key to it all is, which are you feeding? Are you feeding your flesh? Are you feeding the world? Or are you feeding the Spirit? You see, if you feed the flesh and say, oh, it's all about me. It's about my life. It's about being important. I don't have the time. It's not a priority. I have other things to do. Someone else can do it. I'm going to heaven, but I'll just get on with my life right now. We're feeding the flesh. We're feeding the flesh. We're feeding the flesh. Instead, we want to feed the Spirit. We want to read the Word. We want to be praying. We want to be seeking God. We want to be saying, God, speak to me. We want to be saying, God, break my heart for the things that break yours. We want to be accountable to others. We want to be serving in the life of the church. We want to be using the gifts that God has given to us. Feeding the Holy Spirit, feeding our spirit, feeding, 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 feeding. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says something very interesting. He said this. He said, basically, I die daily. He said, it is no longer I who lives, it's Christ in me. Again, this is it. This is the recipe to surrender and following Jesus. The recipe is here in Isaiah 6. Experience Jesus, be aware of our sinfulness, and celebrate His grace. Celebrate His grace, and my response is, I'm all in. Now, with all that said, why do you think more Christians don't pray this prayer? Do you know what? I don't know this for certain, but my reckoning is this. So many Christians are afraid. You see, they're afraid that God is going to say, when they say, God, here I am, I'm available, send me, here I am. They're afraid that God's going to say, okay, set everything up, go to Outer Mongolia and live in a hut. That's what many of us are afraid of. But you know what? Much, much more likely is God's call for you to be a missionary in your office, with the tech team that you work with, in the school where you teach, or on the building site where you work, to serve your neighbors and those around you, to be a faithful friend, to buy lunch for the homeless person, to look out for the single mum. That is much more likely what God is going to call you to do when you pray, "Lord, here am I, send me." Serve the people in front of you. God occasionally says, go to be a missionary, go and do this way out thing. But most of the time, his call is to serve those in front of you. We've got Christmas coming up. It's going to be a strange Christmas. You know, whatever the rules, the tears, it's going to be a strange Christmas. And I want to challenge you. Who is God speaking to you about? Pray that prayer. God, here am I. Send me. And this Christmas, be open in the next month, in the lead up to Christmas. Pray that prayer. God, here am I, send me. And as you pray it, be led by God to encourage a young person, to reach out to someone who's backslidden. Maybe they haven't been to church or online church for the last year. Reach out to them. Reach out to them with the gospel. Reach out to them and challenge them about their faith. Maybe God will just challenge you and guide you about finances, about giving beyond your tithe, about anonymously sending gifts via Amazon to people and then seeing them post on social media. Oh, I got this gift. I don't know who it's from. And just enjoy their joy. Enjoy the fact that they are blessed as you follow God's promptings. Care for the vulnerable. Look out for the homeless. Look out for the lonely. This Christmas, we can pray this prayer and more than ever before can make a difference. Here am I, send me. And this year is not going to be about the big events. Listen, I love the big events. The big events can be wonderful. The great big carol services and all the things can be wonderful. God can use them powerfully. That's not this year. That's not happening this year. So let's be used by God, you and I. Let's be used by God to bring hope and to bring light this Christmas. Pray this dangerous prayer. Here am I, send me in these weeks leading up to Christmas. So let me conclude and finish. The challenge is, some of us hear the voice of God, the call of God, and we're like Jonah and Moses. I'm not going, someone else can do it. So let's be like Isaiah. Let's take on this challenge and be like Isaiah and pray this dangerous prayer. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. I'm all in. I want to challenge you this next 7 days, this next week, to pray this every day. Even if the day before didn't go well, you ignored a prompting, forget it, know that Jesus loves you and has forgiven you, and go again. Here am I, Tuesday morning, send me. Here am I, guide my feet, guide my words, guide my phone calls, guide my conversations. So I want to pray. I want to pray. And I would love you to respond, where you are in your living room, where you are in your bedroom, wherever you're watching this, I would love you to respond, to open your hands out and to receive. Because I want to pray, and I want to pray that you would go out into this week and be a joy giver, and be a peace giver, and be used by God. Have the great privilege of being used by God. So let me pray. And if you'd like to, open your hands to receive, to just respond to the Lord. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you speak to us and you guide us and you lead us. And thank you for this wonderful challenge from Isaiah. Thank you that Isaiah experienced the very presence of God. I pray for some of us this week that we would experience the very presence of God, that we would draw near to Him. And as we do that, we would know that God, you draw near to us. Lord, I pray that you make us aware of our sinfulness and then the joy, the glory, the amazing grace in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Overwhelm us and amaze us by your grace. And in all of this, Lord Jesus, I pray our response would be, here I am, send me. Here I am. Here I am. I will go. I will do. From the little to the big. From the mundane to the extraordinary. I will do what you call me to do. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we get to partner with you. That the Christian life is an adventure. It's exciting. It's dynamic. When we say, here I am, send me, it's an adventure we go on. Father, this week, may we have a week of adventure. May we be astounded as you lead us and astounded as you guide us, as we walk with you, as we pray the dangerous prayer, here I am, send me.